We're holding on the top of Texas Ball over to our second line. We look like this. In the Mishnah, we had a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If one of the two Chalas of the Shea Lechem becomes Tameh, or one of the Staffs of the Lechem Afanim becomes Tameh, Rabbi Yehuda says that both men have to be booed because Ein Korban Tzibur Chalok, a Korban Tzibur cannot be divided in two. If one part of it is possible, the whole thing is possible. The Chachamim say no, whichever one is Tameh, fine, it's Tameh, you can't eat it. The other one, you can go ahead and eat. So we started discussing like Rabbi Lazar had said that the machloikas would be, for example, when it comes to the Shea Lechem, if it became tomei before the blood of the kvasim that goes along with the Shea Lechem was sprinkled. The kvasim, the blood of those kvasim is a matir for the Shea Lechem, and once it's sprinkled, then the Shea Lechem are available for the kohenim to eat. So he said, if they became tomei, if one of them became tomei before the zrika, that would be the machloikas. But if it happened after Zrika, then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that you go ahead and eat the Tartar one. So Rabbi Papa had said, what's the reason for the Machloikas then is like this. We know that the Kohen Gadol fist is Verasa, and makes acceptable a Korban that otherwise would be unacceptable, specifically where it became Tomei. We know that the fist, just Tomei, the Gemara learns that in Sachin, that, yeah, it applies only to Tomei. So the question is, we know that the fifth is effective as far as things that are burnt on the Mizeah, that even if they became Tomei, the Dievet is okay. Does the fifth also work for the part of the Korban that's meant to be eaten? In other words, if we say that not, which is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, then the effect of it is that the one challah that became Tomei is as if it's gone. And if it's gone, then you can't sprinkle the blood of the Kvasim on behalf of the one remaining one because one is not after the other. Whereas the Chachamim say, says your papa, that the fifth will be merata on achilos, called a fifth merata al achilos, that yes, the fifth also that the Yevid makes, that the part that's meant to be eaten, makes it as if it was okay, not in the sense that you can't eat it, you still have an issue lab on eating it because from the chame, but at least to the extent that we don't consider it as if it's missing, such that we can go ahead and sprinkle the blood of the kvasim and go ahead and eat the other challah.
The kvasim is not to be sprinkled, and not to be eaten.
Well, no. No. Again, you have the kvasim versus the chalas versus the lechem. We're talking about over here that you're able to, Rabbi Yehuda will say that you cannot be sprinkling the blood of those kvasim in order to be matur the chalas, because the chalas themselves are not going to be mutter. Both of them are going to be offered. Whereas the chacham says, go ahead and sprinkle the blood of the kvasim. That will make the one remaining chalas mutter. And the other one, what will happen is temporarily fit made as if the other challah was not tameh, and therefore that it's okay to go and sprinkle the blood of the kvasim. Now, after that's done, okay, the fact is only one challah is tahor, the other one's tameh, so you can't eat the tameh one, but at least you can eat the tahor one.
But is the korban, the yotze of the korban?
The yotze of the korban, that's what the chacham are saying. Okay. So, even though there's only one challah at this point, because to that extent, we consider it as if there was a second challah. Okay, so second line, amalei rav huna breder of natsum al papa. But if you're going to explain the Yehuda versus the Chachamim that way, that is a question of whether the tzitz helps for achilas, then consider it like this. Consider when it comes to things that are burnt on the Mizeach, that tzitz merata ala oilin, we know for a fact that tzitz helps for things that are offered on the Mizeach, because that's what the Pasuk says, but not the iron of havona kodshim, and then the Gemara learns in Sochem over there that it means the tumor of things that are meant to go on the Mizeach. And, well, we don't know whether it includes achilas, but we know definitely it includes olin or pligi, and yet we find a machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding things that are burned on the Mizeach as well. Namely, the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, nitma echad mina bozichin. What about another possible case? So in the Mishnah, we had two examples of things, we had the two examples in our Mishnah are things that are meant to be eaten. The two chalas of the Shea Lechem and the two stacks of Lechem Apon. The Braisa adds a third case, where you have two things that have to be offered on the Mizeach, namely the two spoonfuls of Lavoina that go with the Lechem upon him. So those are oilin. And we learn in a Braisa, Nisma Echad Min HaBazichin, if the content of one of the Bazichin became Tomei, so one spoonful of Lavoina became Tomei and the other one did not, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shneim Ya'osu B'Tumah, Rabbi Yehuda said you can go ahead and offer them both B'Tumah, which means, in other words, Rashi says you might as well go ahead and take one spoon and touch it to the other one and make both of them Tomei, because in any case, you can go ahead and be Makar of them B'Tumah. L'fisha in Korban Tzibur Cholok, because, as he said in our Mishnah, a Korban Tzibur cannot be divided in half. So it's either all or nothing.
It's not because the sovereign two cannot be divided if you can come and make the other part of
it. No, no, no. In other words, he's saying like this. No, no, I'm not calling it chalas. We're calling it bezichin over here.
Okay.
The bezichin. Since the korban sibur is doicha tumah tchoya b'sibur, then Rabbi Yehuda figures that once you have one of them is tameh, then you might as well have the other one be tameh as well. Pishen korban sibur chalas, because a korban sibur cannot be divided in half. Now, on the face of it, we should ask, the point is, if we said that it's a question, so on the face of it, if you're going to say, and you mentioned before about the sith is merasa, it makes acceptable something that would otherwise be no good, so in that case, then fine, you have the sith is definitely helps for things that are meant to go on the mezeach. So in that case, the one that remained tahor, why should he be allowed to make it tameh according to Rabbi Yehuda? Go ahead, fine. You can be makhluk with the one that's tameh because sith will be merasa for it, but that shouldn't mean. Well, everybody agrees that sith it helps for the oilin, yeah. But so in that case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're following the logic, then why are we saying go ahead and be matame the other baza? Yeah, after all, at least you should try to do whatever you can, batara. Chachamim say that no, whichever one is tameh is tameh, fine. Whichever one is tahor is tahor. In other words, you can't be matameh the other one. So we see that they're not arguing about the sith, because Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree that the sith makes things work as well. But therefore, it can't be in that case, you can't say the machloekas is regarding whether the sith helps for it or not. They both agree that the sith works for oilin, the things that go on the mizbeach. For oid, and furthermore, we have another contradiction to the Papa's explanation. Amar Ravashi, Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, which we learned in Horius, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achilu Shevet Echad Tomei V'Chalashavotim Zahorin, suppose you have, it comes Erev Pesach, it's time to offer the Korban Pesach. Normally we know, according to the Chachamim, if most of the Sibur is Tomei, then we have, it's considered the Korban Pesach, to that extent, it's considered a Korban Sibur, and it's Doicha Tomei. So you go ahead and be makhluv, even though most of the people are Tomei. However, if there's only one shevet that's tameh, and they don't constitute a majority of the people. No. Well, in general, it's korban hasibur. In general, it's korban hasibur, right. The korban pesach is something where the korban is meant to be eaten, and you even eat it the tumah, even though normally a korban that's offered the tumah would not be eaten. The korban pesach is an exception, because as the Gemara, as the Mishnah says in Pesachim, the whole purpose of the korban pesach is to be eaten.
Even the tumah.
That's the point. So now, if you have most of the sibur is tameh, then everybody agrees you're makhluv the korban pesach. But if you have only one shevet tameh, now we learned in Horius the concept that according to Rabbi Yehuda, one individual shevet can be called a kahal. We talked about that over there in connection with the parahel and davar shel sibur, that according to him, if even only one shevet followed the mistaken ruling of the Sanhedrin, then they would bring a parahel and davar. But similarly over here, he says, I feel a shevet echad tameh, even if only one complete shevet is tameh on Erev Pesach, v'chol ha-shevatim tahor, and all the other shevatim are tahor, yasu b'tumah, they should go ahead and offer the korban pesach and eat it b'tumah. In other words, everybody can do it b'tumah. We don't say, as the Chachamim would say, that one shevet goes and makes pesach sheni. No, everybody can go ahead and make it b'tumah. L'fisha ein korban, l'fisha ein korban, a sibur cholah, because there's no separation within a korban sibur. And again, v'hochamayim hasitz merata isa. Now, what are you talking about over here? About what does the sith accomplish? Again, and here the point is, the sith helps for a korban that's tameh, but the sith does not help when the people are tameh. This that you're saying, that the korban pesach is brought when the people are tameh, is a specific thing that applies only to korban sibur. So the sith has nothing to do with it. So therefore, so over there, if Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you go ahead and be makhluv the korban when one shevet is tameh, and everybody else is saying not, obviously they're not arguing about the sith, because the sith doesn't come into the picture. Over here, when you're talking about the people being tameh, the sith only comes into the picture when the korban is tameh.
So
therefore, so you can't understand the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as being related to the matter of the sith. And he's using the same logic as he used in our Mishnah, she'en korban sibur cholu, that a korban sibur can't be divided. But you see that his idea has nothing to do with the sith. So again, that's another contradiction against Rav Papa's explanation that it does. Rav Papa is the one who's saying that it's machlokas about whether the sith is effective for the part of the korban that's eaten. which is why he said, according to the Chachamim, the tzitz temporarily makes it as if the challah that became tameh was not tameh. Therefore, we can go sprinkle the blood of the korban and then eat the one challah that's tameh, and Yehuda disagrees. But we see in these other cases, we see in the case of the bezichin, where the tzitz definitely helps coin to everybody. We see in the case of the korban pesach, where the tzitz is not in the picture at all.
Because the special case,
the point is, therefore, it's obviously Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning can't be based on the tzitz. And furthermore, we have another contradiction in the Papa from what Ravina says. Toshma, you can prove from another one of the cases in our mission. If one of the challahs or one of the sacks of lechem aponim became tamei, Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnei Yisrael Beitav Seta. Rabbi Yehuda says you take them both out to be burnt for fishing korban sibul cholov because a korban sibul cannot be divided in two. Whichever one is tamei is tamei, fine. It's out as goes, it gets burned. The one that's tahor gets eaten. Im isa. Now, if you're going to tell me that the proper reason, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is using the proper reason that it has to do with the tzitz, then why is he mentioning this concept of ein korban sibul cholov? Let him instead say the actual reason. Rabbi Yehuda should say in our Mishnah that the reason why both of them have to be burned is because the tzitz does not help for the parts that are eaten. Therefore, that challah is tamei, and therefore that challah is considered as if it's missing. Therefore, you can't sprinkle anything. The tzitz won't help, according to him. The tzitz will only help for oilin, only for things that are offered on Mizeach, not for achilas, not for the part that's meant to be eaten. But based on all of that, we can't accept the Papa's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. Elo, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Limud Aruch, which is the Talmud Aruch. The censors didn't like the word Talmud. They often changed it in Shas. But the word really is Talmud. Talmud Aruch, who received Shah Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says no. There's an established statement that Rabbi Yehuda learned from his rebellion without necessarily any reason behind it. That says she'ein korban sibul cholov. That says that a korban sibul cannot be divided in two, and therefore nothing to do with sit, nothing to do with anything. Therefore, in all these cases, he's saying there's no doing things by half. You either have the entire korban as kosher or the entire korban as kosher. So that's all it is. He learned from his rebbeim this concept she'ein korban sibul cholov without rhyme, without reason, whatever. It's just it is. That's how he learned. The Chachamim did not learn that from their Rebbeim, therefore they don't have that concept, and therefore they say you can divide it, and whichever one is Tameh is Tameh. The tzitz has nothing to do with it. Because even in cases where the tzitz is not in the picture, even in cases where the tzitz is definitely in the picture, like with the Bezichin, or even in the cases where it's definitely not in the picture, like the Korban Pesach, even then Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Chachamim. So his Machlokes with them obviously has nothing to do with the tzitz. So that's it. So the conclusion is that that's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is Ein Korban Sibul Cholov. This is what he learned from his Rebbeim. The Chachamim disagree with that concept, and therefore they say Hatara B'Tumah, a Korban Sibul can be Cholov. Right. You have a discussion among the Mephoshim. Does that mean we've completely rejected what Rabbi Lazar said at the beginning, that the Machlokes in the Mishnah is only that there's a difference between before and after Zrika? Where after Zrika, Rabbi Yehuda would say Hatorah B'Tumasa Hatorah Ya'achol. According to this last thing, it sounds like not. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda would say either way. Right. So maybe. On the other hand, you have some Mephoshim who say that nevertheless we can still accept Rabbi Lazar's reason regarding the Rabbanan. Fine. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is saying is a blanket statement and Korban Sibul Cholov, but within the Rabbanan we can still use Rabbi Lazar's reason. Okay. Now, look at the Rabbanan anyway. Okay. Mishnah says.
So what happens? That you eat one part and you just
count
the other?
Yes, so you burn the other one, right? Yeah. Okay. Mishnah continues. Hatoydev pagelas et halachem. The toydev is able to make the bread that comes with it. Remember, we talked about that a toydev comes with 40 loaves of bread, 10 each of 4 different types. The toydev is able to make the bread that comes with it single. But not vice versa. The bread cannot make the toga pickle. Namely, well, what does that mean? Case that. Shachat has a toga lecho mimeno lemachar. If he shechs the toga having in mind that he's going to eat from the meat of the toga tomorrow, and a toga is only eaten for one day and one night, but tomorrow is already past the deadline. No, there is. That's the point. Therefore, both the meat of the Torah and the bread of the Torah are both sigil, and if a person eats from either one of them, he's going to be chayav kares. But not vice versa. Lechem, when a lechem l'macher, if he shechs it, or does one of the other avodas, having in mind, he eats some of the bread tomorrow, ha lechem l'fugol, the bread is subject to sigil, but ha Torah ain't l'fugelos, but the meat of the Torah is not, as we'll see in the Gemara why. Another case, similarly, hakvosim mefaglim et halechem, v'halechem enim mefaglos hakvosim. Similarly, when it comes to the shteh lechem mefaglos, again, we said you have the two kvosim that are brought together with the shteh lechem. When they're shechted and their blood is sprinkled, that's what makes the shteh lechem mutu for the kohenim to eat. Similar idea. There's a similar relationship between the kvosim and the lechem in the sense that hakvosim mefaglim et halechem, they're able to make the bread become sigil. But the bread is not able to make the kvasim become sigil. Case that, what does that mean? So if he shechts the kvasim, having in mind that he's going to eat some of them tomorrow, then the kvasim as well as the bread that comes with them are both sigil, because the lechem in that sense is a subsidiary of the kvasim. But if he shechts the kvasim, having in mind, he eats the bread tomorrow, Halechem l'fugol, the bread is sigil, not kvasim, ain't l'fugol, but the kvasim are not sigil then. No. What we're saying is, if he had in mind during the shchita of the kvasim that he's going to eat from the bread tomorrow, the bread is now sigil. If somebody ate from that bread, he would be chayav kares. But if somebody ate from the kvasim, he wouldn't be chayav kares. So the kvasim may not be completely kosher. They might be possible, but they wouldn't be chayav kares. So the Gemara says, my time. Now, why is that? Why are we saying in our Mishnah that the Torah includes the lechem, but not vice versa, and that the kvasim include the lechem and not vice versa?
It's a Sam Mishnah.
Yeah, but we have to figure out the reason. Yeah. Mishum de Rav Kahana. Are you going to say that the reason is based on what Rav Kahana says? The Amar Rav Kahana, minayin lelachmei Torah shenikru Torah. Rav Kahana says, how do we know that the bread that comes with the Torah is itself called Torah, like this. Shenamah, because the passage describes, when it describes the Korban Torah, it says, the Hikruv al Zevach HaTorah Chalos. The passage says, he should offer, together with the Korban Torah, he should offer Chalos. Now, if it's just meant to say the simple fact that he has to offer Chalos with the Torah, then it should have said more straightforwardly, the Hikruv Chalos al Zevach HaTorah. He should offer Chalos together with the Zevach Torah. Instead, when it puts it in this order, the hikriv al zevach ha-toydah chalos, that means the word toydah is adjacent to the word chalos, implying we can reread the pasuk as if it says that the zevach ha-toydah itself is the chalos. And then therefore, so you could argue that if he has in mind to eat the toydah tomorrow, then that includes the chalos. The problem with that is Konami, then the same thing could be the other way around. If he has in mind to eat from the chalos, we just said the chalos are called the toga, therefore it should affect the toga as well. And our Mishnah told us it didn't. The answer is, holy tasha, okay, but that's not such a big problem, because you could say lechem ikri toga, toga la ikri lechem. Okay, you could say the chalos are called toga, they're an extension of the toga, but the Torah itself is not called lechem. You don't find any place in the Torah where it calls the korban as a whole, where it calls it lechem. So therefore you could say, okay, the lechem is included within the Torah is not included within the term lechem.
So if one is not including the other.
Well, that would give us what the Mishnah says. If he has a thought of sigil regarding the chalos, then it wouldn't make sense.
Mishnah, would contradict the fact that the Torah is the chalos.
No, so what we're saying is, therefore, we would say that the chalos are called Torah, implying that the Torah consists of the chalos, but on the other hand, the lechem is called Torah, but the Torah is not called lechem. So fine, you could make that work, hello. That would work well as far as the Torah, fine. But the problem is, what about, though, the next part of the Mishnah, where we said the same rules apply to the kvasim and the shei lechem of Shavuot? Over there, you don't have anything. Lechem, hecha ashkechon, the ikri kvasim. We don't find any place over there in connection with the shei lechem where it's called the shei lechem kvasim. Nela, by the Torah, okay, you're arguing based on what Rav Kahana is saying, the bread is called Torah, so therefore you can say it becomes part of the Torah. But the lechem of the Shtei Lechem is never called Kvasim, it's never called sheep. So what are you talking about? But our Mishnah says that if you have a thought of tigul regarding the sheep, then it makes the lechem tigul, but not vice versa. And yet the Mishnah, and that's what the Mishnah says, yeah. Ela lav hainu taima. No, we have to say that's not the reason. The reason is nothing to do with what Rav Kahana says about the terminology that the pasuk uses. It's rather the practical fact, what's primary versus what's secondary. Lechem glal toida, the entoida glal the lechem. The bread comes as a tofel. Glal means like the glal, or the result of the toida. Whereas it's not the other way around. The toida doesn't come as a result of the bread. In particular, what Rashi says, what it means is, what makes the bread get kedusha tegul? We know that when it comes to korbanos, you have a stage of kedusha domin, and later on you have a stage of kedusha tegul. At which point, for example, if a tzvul yom touches it, it becomes kosher, and various other rules that first apply to it once it gets kedusha tegul. And another one is that if it's not an animal, then you can't be kosher. What makes the bread, the 40 loaves of bread that come with the toga, at what point does it get kedusha tegul? When the toga is shechted. Therefore, we can say the toga is the ikir, and the bread that comes with it is a tuffle. But it only becomes kaddish when the toga is shechted.
When it's shechted?
When it's shechted. And similarly, the in toga glal the lechem, but it's not the other way around. The toga doesn't get a kedusha as a result of the bread. And similarly when it comes to the korbanos of Shavuot, lechem glal de kvasim, main kvasim glal de lechem. The lechem is as a result of the kvasim, and not vice versa. Now the truth is actually the first point. So you have a different reason. Rav Kahana mentions, we'll learn later on in the Sefta, we'll learn what we learn from Rav Kahana's din, but from Rav Kahana's drasha. But the point is, setting that aside for now, that has nothing to do with the din of our Mishnah. The toga, the lechem, because the pasuk uses the expression the Hebrew of al zevach atoga chalos, that implies that the chalos themselves are the toga. So we thought to say that that's the reason for the din in our Mishnah, that if he shechts the kvasim with a thought of tigul, then it affects the chalos, but not vice versa. But now we're saying that not. The reason is because the chalas get their kedusha only when the toga is shechted, and similarly the shkei lechem get their kedusha only when the kvasim are shechted, and not vice versa. As a matter of fact, actually, we learned at the end of Hodiyah, there was a brief thing where the Gemara said over there that when it comes to being makriv them, when it comes to dealing with them first, the chalos, when it comes to eating them, for example, the chalos come first because they're the chayv atayim, whereas the kvasim are only coming in order to go with the chalos. But on the other hand, that sounds like the opposite of what we're saying over here. But the point we're making over here is, what makes the chalos have kedusha tegul, number one, and number two, what makes them mutter for the kohenim to eat, is when the kvasim are shechted. So in that sense, the kvasim are the primary thing, and the lechem is the secondary thing.
So when it comes to
eating them, then we say the fact is, the whole reason you're bringing the kvasim is in order to be master the lechem. Therefore, the lechem comes first. But in terms of what has to happen in order for that lechem to be mutter, the kvasim has to come first, as far as being master them. So that's what we're saying over here. Therefore, we can say that the kvasim, therefore, in a sense, include the lechem, but not vice versa.
Yeah,
in the sense that you need to shech the kvasim and sprinkle their blood in order for the lechem to be mutter.
You don't shech the
chalas. Fine, in that sense, yes, but the fact of the matter is, you can't do anything with the chalos until the kvasim are shechted.
Right.
So, yeah.
The purpose of shechting the kvasim is to bring kedusha.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay. Right. And the Gemara says it's tzichti. So in fact, then, we need both cases to be said in our Mishnah. We need both the case of the toga and the case of the shela. Because if the Mishnah had only told us the case of the toga, you would say that the toga is mafagel the lechem and not vice versa. then you would say, you would say, okay, I can understand why if you have a thought of pigle regarding the lechem, why it doesn't affect the toda itself. Because one of them does not depend on the other one as far as snufa. When it comes to the toda, snufa is waiting. When it comes to the toda, you pay, a toda is basically a type of shlomim, except that it has somewhat different rules than a shlomim. Like with any shlomim, you take the chest and the right leg of the animal and you wave them together with the chaylev, and then you give the chaz of the shoyt to the kohen and burn the chaylev on the mizeach. When it comes to the toda, you wave the chaz of the shoyt, but you don't wave the chaylev. So therefore, you could say they have nothing to do with each other in that sense. What? Whereas when it comes to Shavuot, when it comes to the korban of Shavuot, where you do have to wave the kvasim together with the lechem, but then ema kimasago b'lechem refagli nami kvasim. So then you would think there is a greater connection between them, and therefore even if you had a thought of pigle on the lechem, it should affect the kvasim as well. That's why we had to mention the shtei lechem as well. Shtei lechem is a pasher.
Why do we not only
because it's common enough for the Mishnah to do things lo yudu after, not only in this case, but even in this case. It didn't have to be. Yes, it could have said only the Shtei Lechem and we could have deduced from it the Toda, but it's common enough to say the more obvious thing first and then the less obvious thing, which in this case would be the Shtei Lechem.
The more obvious thing first is the Toda.
Is the Toda, because again, it's more obvious that the lechem, not more common, the more obvious that the lechem can't affect the toda, because once you bring the korban, you bring them all together to the azara, but after that they have nothing to do with each other. You don't do tnufa together with them together, whereas the shtei lechem and the kvasim you do.
What happens after you shechted?
Actually, you do the tnufa when the sheep are still alive. We'll learn that later on in the Masechta when we get to the details of the Shtei Lechem, then we'll talk about it. Yeah. Okay. Rav Elazar Mirav. So now Rav Elazar asks Rav, here's a question as follows. What if a person shechs the Toda, having in mind that he's going to eat a kezayis part from the toga and part from a spread, a half kezayis of one, a half kezayis of the other, tomorrow. Mahu, what would be the deal? And he continues, if gula is toga, let me boil it. I have no question, I'm not asking the question whether the toga itself, the animal itself, becomes pickle. Obviously not, because hashta kula, milachma le misagla, Madach in our Mishnah was saying that if he has in mind a complete kezayis of the bread, then the toga doesn't become pickle. Nimeno milachma le boil. How much more so if he had in mind only a half kezayis of one and a half kezayis of the other, and you're saying that you have to combine them together for it to work. So obviously the toda itself won't be pigle. Pikum and bayli leaf guli lechem. My question is only, says Rabbi Elazar, is only as far as does the bread become pigle in that case. Do we say min start the toda leaf guli lechem or lo? Can the toda combine, the half kezayis that he has in mind of the toda, combine together with the half kezayis that he has in mind of the bread, and therefore the bread at least becomes pickle, or maybe not, because they're two different things, bread and meat. Slightly related. Because there he had in mind a half kezayis of a murim versus botzer, where one's meant to be eaten, one's not here. Both the botzer and the lechem are meant to be eaten.
It is similar,
but it's a difference,
Switch. Something really important going on under the surface.
Okay.
Are you aware of any other questions that this would answer? Or
it's a question in Torah, that's all.
Sometimes when they ask these questions,
you can learn a lot of philosophy. Okay, I don't know in particular over here, but yeah. Okay. But actually we're going to see, because Rav is going to answer with a Kavah Chomer, which we're going to end up relating to a completely different area of halacha. So we're
right.
So the question is, again, will the bread become pigle? The toda for sure won't become pigle. But the question is, will the bread become pigle by having in mind a half kezayis of it and a half kezayis of the curd? Amalei, after the zuah, lechem mefugel v'atoda enem mefugelet. The Rav answers him, yeah, in fact, in that case also, it'll be like in the Mishnah. The bread will be tickled, meat won't. So the question is, Amai, now why should we say that? Lema kavachomer, says Rav Elazar, why shouldn't we say a kavachomer to the contrary? Uma toida hama hamafago in the sago, mada the toida itself, which is the thing that creates tickle, in the staggle, but we're saying that it itself does not become tibble. In the case of our Mishnah, where he shechted the toga, having in mind to eat from the toga itself tomorrow, then the bread becomes tibble. So the toga can be called the mistaggle, the one that makes the other thing tibble. But if it itself is not mistaggle, in the sense that if he had in mind to eat from the bread, we said the toga doesn't become tibble. So in this case over here, you're telling me over here that the half kazayas of bread, you want to make, you thinking that it should be able to be, make the toga become tiggle, the loy tiggle, but it's not able to, ain't it din shaloy spagel, how much more so that it itself should not be able to become tiggle.
If it makes tiggle,
it doesn't become tiggle. So therefore, here we're trying to make tiggle, and it didn't even accomplish it. Doesn't even accomplish it because we're saying that the half desire of lechem is not the sago of the toga. So how much more so that it itself shouldn't be tiggle. So what are you telling me that the bread is tiggle? The toga talked about that actually you have similar kavachomers that are brought in other places in Shas. And actually also, I mean, the Chidushim on Yochasim Lav Ashba explains that what we mean over here is, basically, we're calling the Toda, he explains more clearly, we're calling the Toda the Mephagel over here, in the sense that, as we said in the Mishnah, the Toda is able to make something else tickle. We're calling the bread the non-Mephagel in the sense that it's not capable of making something else tickle. So that's what we're saying over here. That, yeah.
By the way, it's a Mephagel.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah. Right.
So what?
The toga can make itself tiggle. If you check the toga, having in mind that he's going to eat his own meat tomorrow, sure, the toga becomes tiggle, right? Yeah. Okay. So the question is, you're telling me that we hold a sip of kava, you're telling me that we make sip of kava choyma in another context? But Hatanya, I'll show you a brisa to the contrary, where we don't use sip of kava choyma. And this is going to be in connection with our halachas of Kilayim. We know that one type of Kilayim is Kilay Zroyim. Rather Kilay Aperim. And you have Kilay Zroyim as well. We're not going to talk about that over here. We're talking about Kilay Aperim, where if you have grain or vegetables, or we're going to see soon exactly what species, are planted in or between or near grapes, then things become also, the grapes as well as whatever it was that was growing, the plants over there become also bana, last week's parasha. So Braisa says, Maisa be'echad shezorah karne shechavere smodar. It happened once that once you had one person had a vineyard that was smodar. The smodar is the earliest stage of the development of the grapes. You have grapes, like most fruits, develop from flowers. So you have, there comes a point when the flowers fall off and the grape, and you see they're the first stage of the development of the grape. That stage is called smodar. So that's the stage that these grapes were at. Somebody else went and planted grain or something near these vines. So yeah, but in the Masechta Kilayim, it talks about all kinds of details. Sometimes you need only six tfachim in between them. Sometimes you need four amos. Sometimes you need even more than that. Yeah, there are all kinds of different complicated cases. But yeah. You also have a fence between them, there's no issue, but whatever. Here, it was close enough for there to be a problem. Now, the case came to the Chachamim to find out, is everything also or not? The Chachamim said, the seed, the plant, the grain, or whatever it is that he grew over there, is also, but the grapevines remain mutter. This that we're mentioning over here, that there's smodja, why is it important to know that the grapevines were such an immature stage? So Tosfos points out like this. The halacha is, when it comes to Kilayim, that if it grew by more than 1/200 during the time when the other species was there, that's when it becomes also banah. He was showing me, by the way, in Thailand, explaining how you cigarette. We've learned it here and there. Yeah, we've learned it in a few different places. The reason for it is because Orla is volatile in 200. So therefore, if you have less than 1/200 growth, then there's nothing to be offered. That's because volatile in the plant anyway. The Urashami explains, by the way, how you figure it out. You take a sample of that type of crop, you pick it, you leave it until it's completely dry, and you see how long did it take to dry. The amount of time it took to dry, we consider to be the equivalent of the amount of time it takes to grow. Because you have, plants can take months to grow, but they're not growing the entire time. There's times when they're growing and times when they're dormant or whatever. We figure it out based on the amount of time it takes to dry. So if you have, let's say, you have a particular species, it takes 100 hours from when you pick it until it's completely dry, then you know the total amount of growth time for the plant is 100 hours. Again, that 100 hours when it's growing might be spread out over several months, but the total amount of time that it's actually spending growing is 3 months. Is 100 hours, 100 hours, let's say. Therefore, half hour is enough time for it to be moistened from our side. The Tosafot says, the point is, if we were talking about over here about fully grown grapes, fine, you could say the reason why the grapes aren't also because they didn't grow anymore. Here we're talking about the grapes of smadar, they're still in this very immature stage. They're obviously growing a great deal during that time. So they surely grew more than 1/200. And yet the Chachamim are saying that the grapes are smadar. We can assume that the grapes are so immature, they must be growing during the time when the grain was there, there must have been long enough, yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Vamai." Now, why should we say that the grain is also lema kavachomer? Again, you're telling me that you can use a kavachomer you're trying to use for me a kavachomer involving the toida versus the bread, and say that since the bread is, so to speak, trying to make the toida also, and it can't because it doesn't have the strength to make it also, as you said in our Mishnah. So you're saying how much more so that it itself won't become pigle in the case of the half to die. Use the same thing over here. Umaha oyster ainin neser. Madach the grapes which make the grain that's near them also, because you could plant grain anywhere, you just can't plant it near grapes. Ainin neser, and you're telling me that the grapes themselves don't become also. Habal lesser, so now you have it's grain that's coming to try and make the grapes alter, the loy alter, and it doesn't end up making them alter because we're saying the grapes are still mutter, ain't it didn't show you faster. How much more so? It itself should not become alter. Use the same logic. So why are we saying that the grain becomes alter? So obviously we don't use the kavachomer. Yeah, so therefore if we don't use that kavachomer here in the case of Kilayim, we shouldn't use it in the case of the Torah, right? So therefore, so that leaves us still with Rab's position, that the lechem will be pigle in Rabbi Lazar's case, and the Torah itself won't. However, the Gemara says, Chochi Hashka. How are you thinking to compare these two cases? Chosam, in that case, you should know, it's not necessarily are all plants involved in Kalaya Kerem. Canvas the Luf Osra Torah. The Torah asks when it comes to Kalaya Kerem, the Torah asks certain kinds of plants, namely canvas and luf. Canvas is hemp, the plant from which they're actually translated as canva, which is like cannabis in English, the plant from which they get hemp and marijuana and I don't know what else. That's canvas. Luf is a type of plant in the onion family, or actually it's a mini-citrus, some kind of bean. But whatever it is, so only those Ostra Torah are the types that the Torah offers when it comes to Kilayim. The Tnan, as we have a Mishnah in Kilayim, the place of today was grew a canvas below. A person has a field that was planted with canvas below. Lo yehi derei agabe, and you're not allowed to plant other seeds. In that field unless you destroy the existing plants first. Saying Osis was Shalashanim, because these plants, canvas and luf, produce for the next 3 years. You have, they keep on producing from the existing roots. They keep on producing plants for several years, so then you're going to have Kalayim. Now that's actually talking about Kalayim Zeroy. So it's not quite the same thing as Kalayim Terem. And in fact, the Kitzim Kubetis takes out the Torah in parentheses because it's not relevant. The Girsis that have it over here, the relevance of it is because we see that they're considered important enough to be a problem of Kalai Zeroyim because they keep producing for several years. Similarly over here, when it comes to Kalai Akerim, then they're also the ones that are a problem. meaning, in other words, Charizroi, Midrabanan, Hudasir. All other kinds of plants near grapes are only off the Midrabanan. So therefore, it's not even a question of Daraisa, unlike the Torah that we were talking about. Hide over the Sura Kansura Rabbanan, so therefore we can say it's a matter of Knas. The one who did the issue by planting the grain, the Chachamim canceled him and then made his grain off it. Hide the loy over the Sura, the other person didn't do anything wrong. So no, right, exactly. In other words, right. So we could use the Kavah Chomer in our case. The Kavah Chomer is not relevant to the other case, because it's not even talking yet. Hide the loy over the Sura, the one with the grapevines, who didn't do an issue, loy Kansura Rabbanan, the Chachamim did not cancel. Now, this set was saying that only Tanvus and Lut are also in Kalayah Kerem actually turns out to be a very controversial thing. Because, on the face of it, it contradicts many, many Mishnayos and Braises and Sylvius all over Sham that talk about the idea that vegetables near grapevines become author and grain near grapevines becomes author. So what are we talking about? Are you only Tanvus and Lut?
Right?
No. Well, you have to realize there's different types of Kalayim. You were talking about Kalayah Kerem. Kalayah Kerem, so here the Gemara is telling us that it only applies to Tanvus and Lut. But on the face of it, we have many Mishnayos in the Sefer Kalayim. We have Braises in various places in Shas at the beginning of Bava Basra, for example, and many Sugyas all over the place that imply that other species are also together. So what are we saying over here? Only Tanvus and Lut. So you have a number of different answers. First of all, the Shittim of Kubesa brings from Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, one of the Baalei Apostles, who says the Gemara is not saying it as a factual thing. The Gemara is asking as a rhetorical question. Do you think it's only Tanvus and Lut are also Daraisa and everything else is only also Darabanan? No, obviously over here, if the grapes and the grain belong to the same person, sure, it would be also Daraisa. The only reason why here we're not asking one and only the other one is because we're only asking the one who did something wrong. It's called Ein Adam Osa Davar She'ena Shaloi. The person cannot ask for something that doesn't belong to him. So that would be what the Gemara is saying. Not that it's a question of Daraisa versus Darabanan, but it's a question of that if it all belonged to the same person, it would be Osir, whether it was Tanvus and Lut, or whether it was any kind of grain or vegetables or beans or what have you, because over here it belongs to two different people, that's why you have the din that one is Osir and the other one is Musir. That's how Shittim and Kubetis brings from Rabbeinu Chaim and Kohen. Then you have a number of other explanations, including one of the Gemara. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that's a rhetorical question. You think that only Tanvus and Lut are also Daraisa and everything else is only Darabanan? No, grain is also Darabanan. But there's a difference between his and somebody else's. Then you have a number of other explanations, including that the Gemara may mean that among plants that have inedible seeds, only Tanvus and Lut are included. Plants that have edible seeds, like grain, sure, or beans or whatever, sure, they're included in Kalayah Kerem. But the plant, the Tanvus and Lut, the seeds themselves, they're inedible. You eat other parts of the plant. Therefore, they're the ones that are also. Rashi over here brings a couple of other possibilities. One of them is that when we say Tanvus and Lut, we mean these are plants that we brought from the Mishnah over here that the roots of them persist in the ground for a long time. So those are the kind of things. You know, perennial plants like that are the kind that we're worried about in a vineyard. Other kinds of plants that are only annuals, like grain, for example, fine. Okay. They're gone after 1 year, so we're not so worried about
them.
These are among, right. And then Rashi says another explanation. The reason is because the kind of vegetables or the kind of plants that Kalayah Kerem would apply to are ones that are in some way similar to vines. Tanvus and Lut have clusters that grow on them, clusters of seeds or fruits or whatever it is that grow on them that look look a little bit like grapevines. Therefore, that can be the one. That can be what we mean that those are the kind that are author. And then you have an explanation, I think, from the Rivet who says, sure, all of them are author, but only Tanvus and Lut were saying that both the grape and the other plant become also Daraisa. All other ones, the other plant will be author. The grapes will remain Musa. Because not Daraisa. No, so in other words, no, according to that, it would be also deraita to plant any kind of other plant in your new grapevine, but only canvas and look. What the Gemara is saying about your canvas and look, according to that, we mean only those are capable of making everything also, both themselves and the grapevine. Okay. Because, again, because of the, whatever the reasons are, either because, like that, he says they're perennials, or because they look like grapevines, or whatever. Okay. So those are... So you have them. So you have, these are all various explanations of the same. In practice, I think in Shulchan Aruch it mentions only this canvas and lust thing, but I think what it is is that we accept the explanation, the halacha, that we mean among the inedible plants, only canvas and lust. Other plants that have edible seeds, yeah, those are going to be also, if you plant them in your grapevine, regardless. Okay. Anyway. The point is, getting back to our Gemara, so again, the Kavachomer in the case of the Toda was, he said, that the Toda is able to make the Lechem Tigel, and yet it itself is not able to become Tigel as a result of the Lechem. He has in mind the Lechem, we said in the Mishnah, the Toda doesn't become Tigel. So over here, where the Lechem is trying to make the Toda Tigel, because it's trying to combine with a half Kazayit of the Toda and make something Tigel, and we're saying it doesn't work, it doesn't make the toad a tiggle, then it shouldn't be able to make itself tiggle either. With Kalayim was a similar idea. We were saying that the grapes are considered the oyster, because the grapes are what prevent you from planting wheat or whatever nearby. And yet they themselves were saying didn't become oyster as a result of this other guy planting his wheat. So how much, well, the answer is it ain't not a oyster double sentence flow. The Gemara hadn't considered that point yet in the Kasha. So therefore, how much more so then, if the wheat is trying to make the grapes also and it doesn't, how much more so it shouldn't be able to after itself either? So we're answering no. The fact that the wheat becomes also is a side thing. It's a Zeder Zerabanan, or it's because Einon Moshe Dover Shein Shaloi, or whatever. Yeah. So therefore, Avol Hafalei Makavah Chaimer. So over here, why don't we say the Kavah Chaimer and say therefore that nothing over here should become tangled. That's all version number one of the discussion. The Ika de Masnila Akvotin. Then you have another version of the discussion that it's not about the Toga and the bread that comes with it, but rather as far as the Kvotim and the She'alechem that come with it. Namely, the discussion starts similarly. Bominer of Olozomer Rav, Hashechet of Akvotim Lechel Kazayis Menem Alachman, Mahu. What would be the Dini Shech, the Kvotim, having in mind is the Kazayis, part from them and part from the bread? What would be the Dini? And again, he says, I have no question the kvasim themselves won't become tickle. Hash the kulim the lechem lo nisagli, because if we said in our Mishnah that even having in mind an entire kazayis of the shteya lechem doesn't make the kvasim tickle, mehenu melachim nivoya, how much more so if you're trying to combine together a kazayis of the kvasim and the shteya lechem, so for sure that wouldn't work. Keep coming by, leave guli lechem. My question is, as far as does lachem upon him become tigel in a case like this? Mimik starti kvotim lizgulul lachem aloi. Do the kvotim combine to be able, with the half kazayas of bread? Does the half kazayas of could it be that if you had in mind the half kazayas of the kvotim, Rick was saying a whole kazayas of the kvotim would be enough to make the lachem tigel. So here you have a half kazayas of that and a half kazayas of lachem. Would that be enough at least to make the lachem tigel? Oh, aloi, or maybe not. And again, Rav tells him, "Ask the zu alechem the fugu v'akvotim in the fugalim." No, in that case also, it'll be like our Mishnah. Only the lechem, only the shtei lechem, will be tigul. The kvotim will not. And again, you ask the question, "V'amai leim kavachomer?" Again, why aren't using the kavachomer? Omam l'spagel einim spagel habol l'spagel v'le'tigul einim din shalei spagel. Same kavachomer as before. And again, we repeat, what makes you say that we use the kavachomer? We have the case of Tilaya Kerem where we don't do that. And again, the answer is like before, how are you thinking from there? Over there, only canvas and loof are also in Torah. The other ones are only also in Rabbanan. Or only canvas and loof among types of plants, among certain types of plants. Or you think only canvas and loof are also. All of them are also, etc. The various explanations like before. Hide of it, Yisura Kansura Rabbanan. The one who did the Isur and planted the grain, the Chachamim canted him and made his grain also. Deloy Ovidi Sura Lekansura Rabbanan, the one who planted the grapes didn't do anything wrong, therefore the Chum didn't come to him. Aval Hacha, Lema Kavachayma. But over here, why don't we say the Kavachayma? So those are the two different Lashonis. One that it was regarding the Todah, the other that it was regarding the Shelach. Now, why is that important? Man Demasni, one was regarding the Todah, the other was regarding the Shelach. Now, why aren't we saying that we can derive one from the other? So it depends. Man Demasni La Todah. The Amoraim who learned that this the first version that they said the discussion was regarding the Torah, then they would say Kol Shekhen HaKvasim. How much more so that this din would apply to the Kvasim, that the Kvasim will be able to combine together, that the half Kazayas of Kvasim will be able to combine with the half Kazayas of bread to make the bread tiggle. For the reasons that we said before, because the Kvasim and the Lechem have more of a connection with each other. You do Chnufa with both of them together. At Man Uman de Machin, not Kvasim, whereas the second version, who says that the question was only regarding the Kvasim and the Shtei Lechem, he would say, Kvasim hu dehuzki ku zelo zev l'chnufa. Fine, that din would apply only as far as the Kvasim and the Shtei Lechem, where the Kvasim and the Shtei Lechem have a strong connection that you need to do Chnufa with both of them together. But when it comes to the Torah, where one has nothing to do with the other, other than the fact that you bring them all as one carbon, after that, during the avodah of the carbon, they have their separate things, then we would say that it doesn't combine together, and even the bread is not pickled. Now we have a third version of the discussion. Rav Abba Zutta Boilei Hasi. Rav Abba Zutti asked the question as follows. He learned that the question of Rabbi Elazar was yet another possible place. What about, suppose he were to shech one of the kvasim, having in mind that he's going to eat a kazayis of the other kevah tomorrow. But not like we were talking about in the Mishnah, and like we were talking about until now, where he has in mind to eat from that particular kevah, or from the lechem tomorrow. Here he's shechting tevis number one, having in mind that he's going to eat from tevis number two tomorrow. So what would be then? Do we say chaveroi tevis mashma v'loy mesagel? Do we say, well now when he said the word chaveroi could have two possibilities. Chaveroi is a generic term. It could mean the other tevis, or it could mean the other thing that comes with the carbon, namely the shalata. What did he mean by the word chaveroi? Chaveroi teves mashma, does the word chaveroi mean the other teves? V'loi mitzagel, therefore it would not be tiggle, as we're going to say in the next Mishnah, Tezayin Amar Aleph, that we're going to see over there, that if he has in mind, that if he has, basically the reason is, because one masir cannot make another masir tiggle. The two kvasim themselves are the masir. Each one is a chati masir, fine, but the point is, one part of the masir can't make another part of the masir tiggle. So therefore, it's not quite the same thing, but we'll say, okay, because there it means that he has in mind doing a half a master, then the thing that's nitzer doesn't become tiggle. Here we're talking about the master itself. Yeah. So we know for a fact, we know from the next Mishnah, that if he shechted one of the kvasim having in mind he was going to eat from the other tevet, then it wouldn't be tiggle, because one master cannot make the other master tiggle. So the question is over here, when he said chaveroi, what does he mean? Does chaveroi mean the other sheep? The loy mefagel, in that case, then it's not pigle. Or maybe you could argue that the word chaveroi means the bread that comes along with it. Or mefagelai, and therefore it means pigle. Not necessarily. And by the way, here's one of the gemaras that the Mephoshim bring as one of the possible proofs that when we talk about machshava in kodshim, it means speaking. Because Mela, if you're talking about speaking, you could ask when he said the word chaveroi, what did he mean? But if you're talking about thinking, when he thought, obviously he was thinking about the pashas. He was thinking either about the other animal or he was thinking about the lechem. Okay, so those who say it's machshava would have to say maybe that he thought the word chaveroi without saying specifically which one. Okay, anyway. Okay, Omalei, so Rav answers him to Nisua. Well, look at the next Mishnah. It says, Shachat Echam and Akvasim, to determine the answer to your question. Shachat Echam and Akvasim Lechom Menu Lamacha. We said if he shechts one of the Kvasim in the next Mishnah, it says, or not in the next Mishnah, two Mishnahs from now, to Zayin Amar Aleph, if he shechts one of the kvatim, having in mind to eat from that particular teves tomorrow, who pigul b'chaveri kosher? We said that particular teves is pigul. The other one is kosher. Lechol b'chaveri l'machol. But if he has in mind to eat from the other teves tomorrow, shneim kshedim, then both of them are kosher. Alma chaveri teves mashma. So obviously the word chaveri must mean the other teves. Because we're clearly saying in the Mishnah over there, we're talking about chaveri kosher. Now we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago, that the Chachamim said that if he had in mind regarding one of the chalas, the other one does become pigul. So obviously chaveri over here can't mean chalas. Chaveri over here clearly has to mean the kvasim. So there you go then, the word chaveri has to mean kvasim.
Because
that's what the Mishnah is using, the word chaveri as. However, the Gemara says, Zuma de Parish va'ama chaveri kevet. Okay, but you could say that maybe that Mishnah is talking about where he explicitly said, I'm stressing this Tevis, having in mind that I intend to eat from the other Tevis tomorrow. Not necessarily. Is the Mishnah talking about where he just used the word Chaveroi without the word Tevis? The Mishnah could have been using the word Chaveroi, but meaning that he actually spelled out and said Chaveroi Tevis. So you could still have the question. Okay, nevertheless, the Rambam paskins according to the straightforward reading of the Mishnah that chaveri means the keves. So even if he didn't specify, it means the keves, unless he specifically specified the last. Okay. Mishnah says, similarly, with a similar concept as far as one part of a korban making the other one pigul and not vice versa, has zebach mafagel osan achosim mishakod shubakli. The korban makes the nesachim that come with it pigul once those nesachim were placed in a kli shor. Because again, once they're placed in a free shortage, now they get their kedusha legul. Now you can't be poised to them, etc. So now the mayor says, if he were to shech the korban or do one of the avodas of the korban, he was talking minchas nesachim. So we're talking about the nesachim that come with a korban, that accompany a korban. So we're saying that the zevach is able to make the nesachim pigul, mishakod shubakli, once those nesachim are placed in a fisharis, divrei Rav Meir. So says Rav Meir. No, they're placed, the pashtis were placed before the shchita, but he's saying, you know, suppose they were only placed in there after the shchita, then they didn't yet have their kedusha at the time, so they're not pigul. Hanesachim ein mefagdim et hazevach. On the other hand, the nesachim don't make the korban itself pigul. Ketzad, how does that work? Same, similar as the previous Mishnah. Person shechts the korban having in mind to eat from it tomorrow. Both the korban itself and the nesachim are pigul, and now if somebody were to eat from that nesachim, he'd be chayiv kodesh. But if he shechts the korban having in mind that he's going to offer the nesachim tomorrow, the nesachim are pigul, but the korban itself is not. Because again, basically the reason is similar to what we said before, because the nesachim are secondary to the korban. But we're going to see a twist on it in the Gemara. On the bottom, we learn in a brisa, niske behema chayov and alein mishum pigul. The nesachim that come with an animal, a person is chayov on them for pigul, mipnesha dama zevach matiran likra, because they also, you have the blood of the korban is the matir, the nesachim themselves are the niser, because only once the blood of the korban is sprinkled can you go offer the nesachim on the mizeach. Divrei Rav Meir, therefore Rav Meir says the nesachim are just like any other part of the korban. Pigul applies to them, so if a person were to eat or drink these nesachim, he'd be chayov kares. Amru loy l'Rav Meir, so the Chacham said to Rav Meir, how can you say that the Nesachim are able to become pigul along with the korban? Now remember, in the Mishnah, we only said that Rav Meir says the Zebach is mefagel the Nesachim, implying the Chachamim disagree and say that the Zebach cannot be mefagel the Nesachim, and everybody agrees the Nesachim can't be mefagel the Zebach. So fine, the Nesachim can't make the Zebach pigul, fine, because it's secondary, say it, similar to before. But why are the Chachamim saying against Rav Meir that the Nesachim themselves cannot become pigul at all? The reason is, what are you talking about? We know that a person could bring his korban now and then bring his nesachim even 10 days later. So the nesachim are not necessarily connected so closely with the korban.
In 10 days from now, I'll be okay because you're allowed to bring it in 10 days.
Well, that's...
What's the
That is a valid point, actually, and one of the Mephoshim in the back of Elazar Meir Horowitz explains in connection with what Tosfos says on this, that that is in fact so. We're gonna see in a second, we're gonna talk about, part of the question is, up until what point can you take these Nesachim and transfer them to another Korban? If you brought a Korban and you brought Nesachim with it, then for whatever reason you want to change those Nesachim and bring them with another Korban, one example could be if the Korban itself became Tawful. Can you switch them and use them with another Korban? No, but it has to do, because then the question is, how closely are the Nesachim connected with the Korban? So Tosfos actually gets into a long discussion over here about the pros and cons of when you can and when you can't. Because you have a Gemara later on, you have a Gemara later on in Amos Esther that seems to say you can't do that, and whereas on the other hand, all Gemara says that you can. So Tosfos makes distinctions about at what point are we talking about? Are we talking about before the Korban was shechted or after it? So there you have, in that connection, you have the idea that even if we're saying that you can't change them to another Korban, even if they are tied to this Korban, then yes, you have the point. If you're just saying that the fact is, since you could be makriv in a sukkah several days later, then having in mind to be makriv them a few days from now is not a sort of tiggle anyway, because you're perfectly allowed to do that. So in other words, no, that's the point. In other words, so in all Gemara, the Chachamim are saying that the Nesachim are not even connected with the Korban because you could transfer them to another Korban. Based on what Tosfos is saying, based on later on in all the Sechta, it's not always true you can do that. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But even when you can't, even when it's tied to this Korban, nevertheless, the fact that you could be makriv with them several days later makes it that if he has in mind to be makriv with them several days later, that it can't be called pickle. Because the Chachamim is allowed to be makriv with them several days later.
What about after 10 days?
So that's you have a machlokes that we talked about in Zvach and Rashi and Tosfos argue when we say 10 days, does it mean dafka 10 days but no more, or does it mean even much later? Anyway.
He's got everything covered.
Yeah. No. Okay. On the land, so the mayor answers to them, you're right. Afani loya marzi el bevori mazeva. I'm only talking about when the Nesachim are actually being brought together with the Korban. I agree with you, Chachamim, that if he only brought his Korban now and he's going to be bringing his Nesachim several days from now, that they don't become tiggled together with the Zema. I'm talking about where he brought them all together. Amru Loi, the Chachamim incident, even then they're not so closely connected. Because you can transfer them to another Zema. So that's what I'm saying. That's what Tosfos gets into the whole discussion. When could you do that and when can't you do that? And so Tosfos makes the distinction between before and after Shkita. Okay. Okay. Amar Rava, Kasava, Rav Meir Hukbo, B'Shkita Kalach Meitona. Now, what does Rav Meir hold? Rav Meir holds once the Korban is shechted, then the Nesachim are now tied to that. Now the Nesachim are tied to that Korban. Now they're Kavua with it. Therefore he would say that, once the Korban is shechted, then that's it. Then the Nesachim are now tied to the Korban, and there's no switching thing. So that's why he says, also as far as Tiggle, or actually Tosfos discusses that maybe he says only as far as Tiggle, that therefore they're tied together, and therefore the Shritta of the Korban with a sort of Tiggle makes the Nesachim Tiggle as well. Whereas the Chachamim disagree, because they say the fact that you could have brought them separately to begin with means they don't really have a close connection anyway. We learn in a Braita, similarly, Loiv Shem and Shamas Soda, as far as the log of oil that the Soda brings together with his Korbanus, Chayav and Olam Shom Tigul, again, the mayor will say that Tigul can apply to it, if he had in mind during the Shchita of the Oshem, that he's going to eat the Oshem or whatever, Chutzlut Manai, then the oil that comes with it is also Tigul, if they should damn Oshem Matigul of Bahonus, because again, only when the blood of the Oshem is sprinkled do you have, then it's mutter to take the oil and put it and start putting it on the ear and thumb and toe of the Masoda. So in that sense also the oil can be called a nisir, something that becomes mutter as a result of the blood of the Korban. Give it a mayor. Amruloy le mayor. And again, I'm going to say to the mayor, why? Salat odom maybe ashomei alug ha'yon v'lug in the kandad yon yon. Again, the person could bring the Oshem today and bring the lug 10 days from now, so there's no connection between them. On the other hand, he says to them, "Achani lo yomarki el b'bomin el b'bori ma'oshem." He says, "You're right. I'm only talking about where it comes together with the oshem." That he's saying that if it comes together with the oshem, that's when I'm saying it becomes tigel if the oshem is tigel, but not if it was brought several days later. Omrulai. And again, Hanan's in an actual Fanosila Asanacha. Even then, it's not connected because you can bring the lug of oil together with it. You can change it and bring it with another one. And again, Omrulai, Kapsavar Rameir, Hukma Mishchita, Kalach Meitardia. Again, Rameir holds, as he did with the Nesachim, that they're Kavua. Once the Asham is shechted, then the oil is Kavua, that now it belongs to this Asham and no other, and there's no change. It's a similar idea.
Yeah, Allah
is like the Chacham. Interesting thing, by the way, that Achronim bring in connection with this idea of bringing the Nesachim several days after a Korban, which, by the way, again, Rav Meir agrees to that basic halacha. He just disagrees with the application of it as far as table. But interesting discussion. That's the interesting discussion that goes on among Achronim. We know it says in it says in the Gemara, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. That of course you can see it also in the Siddur. Before you can see it in the Siddur before Hilchos Tzitzis, that if a person says Kriya Shema not wearing tzitzis and not wearing tefillin, then it's ke'ilu made edus sheker ba'atmos, like he's saying false witness about himself, because he's saying in Shema that you have to wear tzitzis and you have to wear tefillin, and he's not wearing them. So the question becomes, in the morning when we say Shema, when we say Shema before davening, fine, tzitzis we're wearing, but we're not wearing tefillin yet. Especially Arminag is only to put on tefillin by Ezer Makayman a few pages later in the figure. What happened to the edus sheker? What do you do with that? So one answer is, because we intend to put on tefillin later, then it's considered it's not made Eidus Sheker. When do we say this? Made Eidus Sheker if he says Shema and has no intention of putting on tefillin that day. No, so therefore, so that's what it means, in other words. So when he says, Kol HaKodah Kriya Shema without tefillin, it means without intending to wear tefillin. And we see, in other words, by analogy with our case of the year, where you can bring this korban today and bring it in the Nesachim later on, by the same analogy, when we consider it okay because he intends to bring it in the Nesachim, by the same analogy, you can be saying Kriya Shema now, intending to put on tefillin a little later, and it's okay, and it works.
Everybody agrees.
Not everybody agrees, but this is why you have different minhagim. You have people who tack out of the minutes to put on. And you know what? If you look in the Siddur, you can see where is tefillin in place, where is hanachas tefillin in place before Hareini Makabel, before Matzos. Because you have tehillos where they have the minhag to do that. So that way, when they're saying the Shema that's in morning brachos, then they're already wearing tefillin. So we don't, because we say we can rely with it. So there's an idea. I think it's brought up to the actual explanation that goes like that. I think it's brought from Machos and Melublin, but there's just an idea that at night is different. Obviously, the thrill and sisters don't apply by night. That's different. What are we talking about by day? I mean, you're wearing a talus cotton all day anyway, so in that case, then it's kind of a non-issue anyway.
No,
but,
Technically,
I mean, again, you could say it, but you should, ideally you should be wearing a talus cotton all the time. If you're not, and it comes time to say Kriya Shema, you should still say it anyway.
That's a good way to look at it. Put it on and say it.
Well, ideally, obviously you can, but if you can, for whatever reason you can, or whatever, then still you grab whatever mystery you can. In fact, by the way, there's actually, they mentioned this connection of Rashi and Parshas Balak, when Bilam is being forced to bench the Jewish people three times, and when one of his brachas hen on to lobby Yochum Bachari Yisnasa, Rashi mentioned in Rashi, he uses the expression over there that the Jewish people they strengthen themselves like a lion and they get up early to do mischief. And he mentions over there Kriya Shema before tefillin, also going with this idea over here that you can be saying Kriya Shema before putting on tefillin for the same reason, because you can be bringing the korban before bringing in the tzitzis. So again, it's an idea that's brought from the Chozim of Lublin, but it's an idea that we see that the Alter Rebbe evidently held by this idea, and evidently different other groups of Siddim also do.
That's what?
That you can be saying Kriya Shema in the morning, even though you haven't put on tefillin yet.